Okay? And he says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, last time we saw that Apostle Paul, as he said that he really wanted to go to the Romans, okay, and to see this Roman church, but he was prevented by unavoidable circumstances, and he was so eager to preach the gospel. Why is he so eager to preach the gospel? Because he says he's not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel brings what? Salvation. Nobody can be saved in any way, only through the gospel. And he's not ashamed of the gospel, because in the gospel you find the center is the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified for your sins. Alright, now let me give you a little story here for you to understand, as Apostle Paul is saying that he's not ashamed. Now, why is he, many people today, I see, they are ashamed when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to your identification in Christ. You are ashamed to proclaim Christ. People are not ashamed to talk about God, but when it comes to Jesus, people get ashamed. Now, let me tell you a story. There was a mother and a daughter. And her daughter was extremely beautiful, very pretty, attractive, intelligent, nice-looking girl. She's a teenager. And there was an event in their school where parents can come and see their children. But this mother was not good looking because she had a lot of scars on her body and her face. But the daughter is extremely pretty. So the mother was very excited to come and meet the daughter in the school and see her friends and to show how much she loves her, and as parents get excited. So the mother went to see the daughter in the school. And the daughter was ashamed of her mother, because all the other parents, they are not like her mother, because her mother has scars. And her mother has all her face has scars, her body, and she was ashamed. And she ignored the mother in front of all her kids. Her kids asked, "Where's your mother?" And when the mother came to the doctor, she ignored the mother, saying, "I don't know her. I don't know who this woman is." And the mother was extremely hurt. And when she went home, she asked the daughter, "Why did you do that? I was very hurt." And she was crying, the mother. Then the mother told the daughter, "I will tell you what I have been kept in secret. I'm going to tell you now. When you were a little baby, an infant, you were inside my house and I was outside washing the clothes. There was a fire in the house. And the fire was so great, and I thought that you would be burnt dead. And I took the clothes that I was washing. There was a blanket, big blanket that is always already wet. I went through into the house and put you in the blanket and roll over, hide in the blanket so that she won't get into the fire." And the mother took the baby through the fire of the house, and by going through the fire, her face got burnt and she had scars on her face. And now you are safe, and now you are beautiful, because I hide you inside the blanket. I saved your life." When the daughter heard that story, tears began to roll down from her cheek, and she began to cry. Then she hugged her mama and said, "Mama, I'm sorry, please forgive me." And after that, she wanted to tell everybody about her mother, because how her mother, if not for her mother, she would have been the one who would have been having scars, or she would have been in the hospital. But just imagine Jesus Christ. Just imagine Jesus Christ, what He has done. I mean, this is just a story, but imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, who God incarnate in the form of man, coming, leaving heaven, coming to earth, taking our sins on the cross. Look at the wounds of His hands and the nail prints. That will show His love for us, and we should not be ashamed. That's why Apostle Paul is saying that I am not ashamed of the gospel, because in the gospel the center is Jesus Christ. That's why in the book of Mark we saw that if anybody is ashamed of me and the gospel, I will be ashamed of him, Jesus said. So what in verse 17 Paul says now, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So here we see, where do you find a righteousness? In the gospel, right? And this righteousness comes from where? From God. The righteousness comes by faith. Correct? So that is very clear. Now, what we have to understand is, what is this righteousness? When Scripture is talking about righteousness, what does it mean, righteousness? That we can be righteous with God. It means that man, this is really the doctrine of justification, but I will be going through as the book of Romans goes, as we go on the book of Romans, we will get into different doctrines, sanctification, justification, we will get into all those things, okay? But here you will see a little bit, here you see a justification, and I'm not going to go through a lot on that, but a little bit what it says here. So righteousness means that man can be right with God. That God declares the sinner to be righteous. It's a declaration from God that the sinner can be righteous, that man can be right with God now. Now, how can this happen? Now, we have to understand righteousness can be understood only if we know that we are sinners. You understand? So we need to understand, how can man be right? Well, man has been always been right. See, he has been always been right with God. So what's the big deal? No. Man has not been right with God. Man is a sinner. So we need to understand that. Righteousness is only for what? For the unrighteous, for the sinners. If you can remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, why did he come? He came to seek and to save which was who? Lost. And also Jesus said, Luke 5:31, it is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I had not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. See? So the righteousness is for the sinners. Now, many will ask, well, how about the good people? How about the people who doesn't sin? How about the people, you know, who doesn't take drugs, who doesn't take alcohol, you know, who are very good, who help other people? Do they need Jesus? You know, sometimes you try to witness to people about Jesus. You say, you know what? I'm a good person. I have my religion. I don't do this, I don't do that. Maybe you need it, not me. How about them? This is where Bible says, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is some who are righteous. Does it say that? No. As it is written, there is no one righteous. Not even one. So it's so clear. The Bible says there's nobody who is righteous. Not even one. But some think that they are righteous. They think they don't need Jesus. They think they have their religion because they are righteous. But God says, no. Not even one. Why? Because God is absolutely righteous. Correct? He is 100% righteous. So from His standard, He's talking. From God's standard, everybody has fallen below God's standard. That means if you are righteous 90%, still you're failed. You cannot make it to heaven. If you are 99% righteous, still you're failed. You cannot make to heaven. You got to be 100%. How can you be 100% righteous? Nobody can be. Why? Jesus said, even if you get angry with your brother, you have already committed murder. Even if you look at a woman with lust in your eye, with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. God looks at the heart. Out of the heart comes all the deceitfulness, the lies and everything. You don't have to lie. You think about a lie. You already lie. So there's nobody righteous from God's perspective. Everybody has fallen short. Then verse 11 says, Romans chapter 3, there's no one who understands. No one who seeks God. Man can never come to God. Only God can come to man. You understand? Man can never go to God. The only way man can go to God, by doing good works, religious duties, lighting candles, saying your formal prayers, you're trying to see God. People are trying to see God today by doing things, religious activities, making a statue, or worshipping different things, what you have made. Alright, going to church, you are trying to see God. God is here. But Bible says no one seeks God. Because absolutely we are sinners. We have no capability to seek God because if you are not born again. So from God's standard, we are all sinners. So, back again here in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, it says that this righteousness is in the gospel, and this righteousness from God is revealed. The word revealed means something that was hidden in the past. Something that was a secret in the past, now it is being exposed. It's like this. Give you an example. It's literally meaning is uncovering a veil. Okay, have you seen in the Middle East the women has a veil? You cannot see the face. But when you take that off, I can say, oh, now I can see you. That is the word reveal means. Okay, so it's been revealed. This righteousness is being revealed. How is this righteousness been revealed? Is it been revealed in any kind of religion? Or by keeping the Ten Commandments? Or through education? It is revealed where? In the gospel. Who is in the gospel? Who is the center in the gospel? Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus is the righteous one. Correct? He is the perfect one. He is absolutely perfect. He is the righteous one. So through Jesus, this righteousness is being revealed. Correct? Because Jesus came on our behalf. Right? Because we are all sinners. We have all sinned. We have all broken the commandments of God by word, by deeds, by every possible way we have broken. So Jesus came in our behalf. He is the righteous one. And He took our place, as we read in the book of Isaiah today. So, we deserve God's judgment, truly deserve it, but God pardoned us when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came, we broke all the laws, and He came and fulfilled all the laws on behalf of us. As He said, I did not come to break the law, but to fulfill them. Because somebody has to fulfill the laws. You know, did Jesus fulfill every single law in the Old Testament? Yes. Jesus said, all the laws are tied together in those major two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, then love your neighbor as yourself. Every law is tied together in this. Jesus did both. You can see how He loved the Father. He was subject to the Father. And at the same time, how He loved the enemies. How He died for the enemies. He fulfilled everything. Now that's why this is so important. Man is a sinner. He can never go to God. He cannot go to God through religion, through education, through philosophy, because sin separates man from the Holy God. You understand? Only Christ can bridge this gap. Only Christ can bridge the gap. Because Christ is the righteousness. We can stand before God. God has declared us righteous. Why? Through the gospel. Because in the gospel you find Christ. Okay. The second part is this righteousness. It is in the gospel, it is in Christ, and it comes from God. Now we are going to see how this righteousness literally comes to us. One thing we have to understand is man can never earn this righteousness. We cannot earn righteousness before God. It's very clear in the Bible, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says that He saved us not because of what? Righteous things we have done. But because of His mercy. Opposite of mercy is what? Judgment. We deserve judgment. So, we can never earn this righteousness. Now, how many people today we see are trying to earn righteousness? Because I go to church, God is going to overlook my sins, bad things. Because I gave to the poor, God is going to overlook. I can be righteous. Though, so they will do these things as works for salvation. So man can never come to God. God is here. Man is here. Man can never go to God. The other way around. Now, how did God declare man righteous? How did God declare man righteous? When Christ, man is a sinner, right? Can everybody see this? Okay, man is a sinner, right? When Christ, what did Christ do? He took all the sin of mankind. You see that? All the sins were poured on Christ. He was righteous, but all the sins was poured upon him. So the wrath of God fell not on man, but on whom? On Jesus. You see that? So Jesus took all the sins. The sins was poured upon him. Now who was Jesus? He was absolutely perfect, absolutely holy. He was the righteous one, right? So what did Jesus do? He, in return, he gave his righteousness to us. See that? So now we are righteous in Jesus. That's what happened on the cross. He took our sins, then he gave his righteousness to us. Now we can have a right relationship with God together. Man can come to God. There is no bridge anymore. The temple was torn, the curtain of the temple was torn when Christ died. Man can come now boldly to God's throne by what? By grace. Only by grace. Not anything that we have done. So, we have become righteous through Christ. God is God's provision. You understand? Not by keeping the Ten Commandments. A lot of people are saying, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Look, the Bible says, Apostle Paul really hit hard on people who are trying to be righteous by keeping the Old Testament commandments. See, Romans 3:20, he says, therefore, we are talking about righteous, right? Now you will see how many times I repeated the word righteous here, in other scriptures too. Here again, Romans 3:20, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by what? Observing the law. Rather, through the law, we became conscious of sin. So what happened? The law was a schoolmaster for us. The law was good. If not for the law, I don't know that I am a sinner. So the Ten Commandments were given for us like a schoolmaster to show us that we are sinners. That we can never keep the law. Understand? But through the Ten Commandments, by keeping the law, we can never be righteous. Then it says, Romans chapter 3 verse 17, this righteousness that is by faith. So righteousness comes by what? By faith. Now again, we have to understand, we need to know what is faith. There are many definitions in faith. People can have a different definition in faith. But what is the biblical faith here? Example, I told you before. Do you believe that George Washington lived in this country? Do you believe that he was the first president? Of course, everybody believes. Can you prove to me that George Washington was the first president? You know, you believe that he was the first president, right? You believe. Can you prove your belief? Huh? Go to the library. It's in the history book. So the history declares that George Washington is the first president, and our school teaches that through history. So that is called a legal historical document. A legal historical document. Okay? But if I ask you, do you believe in George Washington? Do you believe in him? Now you might wonder, I don't know what he believed in. You see the difference? You believe that George Washington
was so and so, but do you believe in him? Now that makes a difference. The faith is literally believe, not believe God, believing in God. Because there are millions of people today in the world that believe God. Here, in this country alone, there are millions of people who believe God. But are they righteous before God? Because the Bible is so clear when James 2:10 says that even demons believe God. You understand? Even demons believe God. But are they righteous before God? Only way that we can be righteous is by having a saving faith. A saving faith, it is only a saving faith that makes a man righteous before God. It is believing in God that we can become righteous. What is believing in? Meaning trusting in Him. He will become the center in your life. He will take control in your life. That you will surrender all your possessions to Him. You will surrender your life to Him. When you surrender your life to Him, all your belongings that is pertaining to life, it's also being surrendered. You don't surrender, okay, I will surrender my life to God, then you cannot say, but only in the church, and only when I read the Bible, and only when I pray. That's those. So you make now your own definition how you are going to. You make your own rules how you are going to surrender your life to God. That is not it. When you surrender your life to God, it means your whole life in every time of the frame. In everything, what you have, what you possess, what you do, it's not that you can say, only at the Bible studies, only in the church, only this part, I'm surrendering my life. But at work, with the other people, no, I can live the way I want to. No. Christianity is a lifestyle. So we need to believe in God, trusting in Him, surrendering our life to Him. Let me give you a scripture. I will be going through this scripture later in the book of Romans. But Abraham is called the father of faith. Isn't he? You know why he's called the father of faith? Abraham didn't have a Bible like how we do today. Abraham didn't have the Ten Commandments. He didn't have any laws where God gave him, do this, do not do this, this is right, this is not right. Nothing like that was given to Abraham. But he is called the father of faith. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Verse 1. Genesis 15, 1. He says here, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, see that how Abraham, how he came to God, proclaiming God as sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate, Eliezer of Damascus? Abraham is saying, I'm still without a king. Who is going to inherit this thing? Okay. And Abraham said, you have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Then God said, Abraham, Nothing is impossible with me. Maybe you're old. Maybe your wife is getting old. But nothing is impossible with me. So God wants to show this impossibility to Abraham. So what did God do? God took Abraham, said, he took outside and said, Abraham, God took Abraham outside in the night time probably and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to me, so shall your offspring be. God's telling Abraham, you may be old, your wife may be old, but I'm going to, your offspring is going to come from your own body. And nothing is impossible with me. Go out and count the stars. Showing Abraham that he is God of the universe, that in him everything holds. So what did Abraham do? In his mind, here Abraham, what the scripture says, Abraham believed in the Lord. In your Bible, in literally, it says not believe the Lord, believe in the Lord. You should write that down. Abraham believed in the Lord. You should write in there. Okay? That's what it means literally. Abraham believed in the Lord. Then what happened? He credited, that means God credited to him as what? Righteousness. That means God imputed Abraham, your commandments, where I got to keep this and so forth like that so I can be righteous. No. Ten commandments was not even given here. And Abraham was made righteous by what? By faith. By faith. You understand what is faith? Believing in God. Believing in God. Faith is not a work. Now, what is repentance? You need to, first thing we need to do to have faith, first thing we need to do is to repent. Repentance is this. Here is sin. Before you were in sin. Repentance is turning your soul from sin. That is repentance. If you talk in one sentence, repentance is turning your soul away from sin. Turning your soul or turning yourself away from sin. That is repentance. And faith is turning of your soul to God. You understand? You turn yourself away from sin. Now, your soul, turning your soul or yourself to God. That is faith. Now, today, there are many who are trusting in religion to be saved. They are going to church. They think because going to church, they can be righteous. By lighting a candle, you can be righteous. By praying to some beads, you can be righteous. Or by carrying a necklace and a little cross, that you can be righteous. Or by having a picture of Jesus in your house, you can be righteous. Or having a Bible in your house, you can be righteous. You cannot be. Or even, as I said before, the Old Testament, the commandments are given. By keeping the commandments, you can be righteous. One thing, have you ever noticed that the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, right? And Moses gave to the children of Israel. If the Ten Commandments can save them, they could make it to the Promised Land. Because the commandments showed them that they are sinners, and from the God's standard, they were wiped out. And they couldn't make it to the Promised Land by keeping the law. Only two people of that generation went to the Promised Land. Joshua and Caleb. Why? They believed God in faith. And they were able to go to the promised land because it was by faith they believed God. Because if you can remember in Numbers chapter 13, turn with me to Numbers 13 quick. Numbers 13 verse 30 here. Let me give you a story how Moses sent some spies to spy the promised land, right? And among the spies, Israelite spies went, and among them were Joshua and Caleb. So the spies came back and reported Moses a report, "Oh, we cannot go there. There are giants and so forth like that. You know, it's impossible." Verse 30 says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up there and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone with them said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said that the land is explored, devours those living in it. All the people we saw, they are great size, big giants and so forth like that." But see chapter 14 verse 4. Then it says here, verse 4, "And they said to each other, 'We should go, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. It is impossible for me to go. Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly and gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jeshune, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we pass through and explore is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land, a land of flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord.'" Hey, see? "And they said, 'The protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" They believed by faith. Even when there were giants, they believed in faith. And who were able to go to the promised land? People who believed in faith. Others couldn't go. The law couldn't make them righteous. I'll tell you one thing. There are people who says, "Well, now I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to keep the law. I'm trying to obey this. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying everything. But it is hard." And then you get so confused. You're trying. You can't do it. And you can never experience that victorious life as a Christian because you are trying all these things. But see what Jesus had done. By trying to be good, by trying to do those good things before God, you can become a failure. Because you are struggling in your flesh to please God. But let me tell you something. We need to see the love. We need to see the love of Christ on the cross. It is only by His love towards me now, because I can love Him exceedingly for what He has done. I don't have to try things, but I do things by loving Him. It comes as a natural thing now. I don't perspire and suffer myself. I got to study now. But I love to study now. I don't have to struggle to study now because it's a great joy for me to study because I have a love relationship now with God because of Christ. Because it's the love that motivates me to serve Christ. Apostle Paul said, it's the woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel, right? It's the love that compels him to do that. It's not a work that you struggle in your flesh. Many Christians today who are struggling in themselves to serve God and even to walk a righteous life. I got to study now. I'm trying to do this, but I can't. They become a miserable failure. Let me give you an example here, a story. There was a father, and this father had a son. This father had a lot of rules for the son, rules and regulations. Don't do this, don't touch this. And you have to walk this way in the house, you know, the carpet and everything in the house. He had many rules and regulations. And the child has to walk everything very carefully. Otherwise, he breaks the rule and the father scolds him. Alright? So one day, the father said, okay, I had to go out of town. I had to go to the market. I know you have broken the rules many times. So this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that you're not going to break any rule. I'm going to make sure that when I go to the market that you will go out and play with your other kids and so forth like that. I want you to take care of my house. I want you to look after the house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie you to the tree in front of the house. So he tied the boy to the tree in front of the house. He tied it. So he made sure when he comes the boy is there. So he went to the market. When he went to the market, the boy was screaming, hey, get me out of here. You know, he's scolding the dad, how dare you do this and this and that. And he's struggling because he's trying to keep the house law and everything. He can't do it. He's always failing. And at the end, he's been tied. Then the father came, oh, what a good boy you are. No. That is like the law. The law, what does the law do? It binds you. You have no escape. Now, let me give you another story. The other part of the story. The father had a boy, had a son. And he told the son, son, I have to go to the market. But be a good boy. I don't want you to go out anywhere when the other kids come and they will tempt you. I don't want you. I want you to be in the house, okay? Alright? And he was very loving and the boy had a relationship with the father. And he knows what is good and bad. And he loves the father so much, he doesn't want to do anything bad. He wants to serve the father. Alright? Now, what did the father went? As soon as the father went, the neighbor's kids came and told the boy, hey, come, let's go and play some basketball. Let's go over there. He said, no, no, I can't go. But before the father went, he told his neighbor, call the neighbor, can you keep an eye on my son? He said, all right. Then the father came back. He asked the neighbor, how did my son do? How did he fare? Oh, Mr. Jones, if you know your son, what a beautiful son you have. The neighborhood kids came and told your son, let's go and play basketball. And the son said, no, no, my father told me not to go. Oh, come on, just before your father comes, you can go and you can come back and your father will not even know that you went and played basketball. Say, no, no way, I will not go because I had to obey my father because I truly love him. And the neighbor said, Mr. Jones, your son is a good example and he was an excellent son and gave a good report. And that's the relationship that we have with the Lord God, because of through Jesus, what He has done for us. So what motivates us to serve God? It's love. How can we be righteous? We are righteous through the gospel we saw through Jesus Christ, what He has done for us.